Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Third canto, chapter 2, entitled Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Text number 17. Dunoti Cheta Smarato Mamaitad Yad Aha Padav Abhivandya Pitro Tatamba Kangsad Urusankitanam Pasidatam No Kritanishkritanam. Excuse me. Kritanishkritinam. Dunoti cheta smarato mamaita. Dunoti cheta smarato mamaita. Yadaha pada bibhivandya pitro. Yadaha pada bibhivandya pitro. Tatambakam saduru sankitanam. Tatambakam saduru sankitanam. Prasiratam no krita niskritanam iskritinam. I keep on saying iskritanam. It's niskritinam. Prasiratam no krita niskritinam. Dunoti chetak smarato mamaita. Yadaha padava vivanja pitro. Tatambakam sadura sankitanam. Pasiratam no krita nishkritinam. Yadavadava. Ladies,
Thank you.
dunoti. It gives me pain. Cheta, heart. Smarata, while thinking of. Mama, my. Etat, this. Yat, as much as. Aha, said. Padau, feet. Abhivandya, worshipping. Pitro, of the parents. Tata, my dear father. Amba, my dear mother. Kangsat, out of kangsas. Uru, great. Sankitanam, of those who are afraid. Prasidatam, be pleased with. Na, our. Akrita, not executed. Niskritanam, Niskritinam, duties to serve you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Krishna begged pardon from His parents for Krishna's and Balaram's inability to serve their feet due to being away from home because of great fear of Kamsa. He said, O Mother, O Father, please excuse us for our inability. All this behavior of the Lord gives me pain at heart. Purport. It appears that Lord Krishna and Baladev were both very greatly afraid of Kamsa, and therefore they had to hide themselves. But if Lord Krishna and Baladev are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how was it possible that they were afraid of Kamsa? Is there any contradiction in such statements? Vasudev, due to his great appreciation for Krishna, wanted to give him protection. He never thought that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and could protect himself. He thought of Krishna as his son. Because Vasudev was a great devotee of the Lord, he did not like to think that Krishna might be killed like his other children. Morally, Vasudev was bound to deliver Krishna to the hands of Kamsa, because he had promised to turn over all his children. But out of his great love for Krishna, he broke his promise, and the Lord was very pleased with Vasudev for his transcendental mentality. He did not want to disturb the intense affection of Vasudev, and thus he agreed to be carried by his father to the house of Nanda and Yashoda. And just to test the intense love of Vasudev, Lord Krishna fell down in the waters of the Jamuna while his father was crossing the river. Vasudev became mad after his child as he tried to recover him in the midst of the rising river. These are all glorified pastimes of the Lord, and there is no contradiction in such manifestations. Since Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he was never afraid of Kamsa, but to please his father, he agreed to do so. And the most brilliant part of his supreme character was that he begged pardon from his parents for being unable to serve their feet while absent from home because of fear of Kamsa. The Lord, whose lotus feet are worshipped by demigods like Brahma and Shiva, wanted to worship the feet of Vasudev. Such instruction by the Lord to the world is quite appropriate. Even if one is the Supreme Lord, one must serve his parents. A son is indebted to his parents in so many ways, and it is the duty of the son to serve his parents, however great the son may be. Indirectly, Krishna wanted to teach the atheists who do not accept the Supreme Fatherhood of God, and they may learn from this action how much the Supreme Father has to be respected. Uddhava was simply struck with wonder by such glorious behavior of the Lord, and he was very sorry that he was unable to go with him.
Om Gyan Tamrindasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmay Sri Guru Venama Gam Guru Diva Chalam Pangam Langayate Giri Merki Pitamande Sri Guru Dina Taranam Paramananda Maravam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So this behavior and feeling expression of ecstasy here is, of Uddhava is simply that. It is a transcendental exhibition. Not that it's, again, as we mentioned, we've heard in recent classes, that these symptoms are not something that's practiced or imitated, but it's something that comes from a genuine experience. That Uddhava was feeling great pain in his heart. And again, it's not a pain that we may feel in the material world over having lost some friend or relative even, or we lost something and we can't find it. No, these are all transcendental pains. And the example is that however great one may be, whatever one's position may be, the example has to be there, right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yad yad acharati shrestas tad tad eva tarojana. Whatever standards are set there by, and whatever examples are there given by the leaders of society, the great men, those standards have to be followed. And they're kept as examples. Unfortunately, in the world nowadays, we don't have any standards nor good examples. Everyone is covered by various degrees of the modes of material nature. So what can you expect? They're overcome by ignorance, passion, and in the smallest degree, there may be some goodness. But for the most part, it's all ignorance and a passion. And so this example and this comment that Uddhava is making here, this appreciation of Lord Krishna begging his parents their pardon for their inability to serve their lotus feet due to being away from fear, out of fear of Kamsa, was not not that Krishna again, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is disturbed or felt some mundane fear of Kamsa, but it's an appreciation of the Lord's devotee, of the Lord's various activities. And these, again, are given to us throughout the Bhagavatam. There's a wonderful chapter in the Krishna book where the cowherd boys and men were discussing, without knowing the intricacies of Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not knowing of his uncommon spiritual opulences, they began to discuss the activities of Krishna. And they began to discuss how is it that this young boy at the age of 7 is able to lift this gigantic mountain of Govardhan just as an elephant holds a lotus. It's insignificant. We all have experience of an elephant that may move something out of the way. Sometimes you see this in those documentaries, wildlife documentaries. They show how the elephants are so powerful. They can crash through all kinds of brush, and they can take gigantic trees and knock them over, carry them without any effort practically. What to speak of a lotus flower? It's insignificant. So how is it that this young boy, he's only 7 years old, and he's lifting this gigantic Govardhan hill? And insignificantly, he's very casually just lifting. And how is it that he, without even being able to see properly, was able to kill this gigantic witch, Putana? The Lord hadn't even opened his eyes. And he's able to take this great Rakshasi and finish her. Or how at the tender age of just 3 months old, he was able to, he was lying there, he was crying that his mother was not available. He wanted to suck her breast and began to kick his feet and knocked over this huge cart, which was, as we understand, a great a demon as well. This cart fell and crushed this, again, a great mystic. Or how he, at the age of just 1 year, was swept up into the sky. We've sometimes seen these news stories and how powerful storms are when they crash through certain neighborhoods, and they toss around cars like they're nothing. This great demon was able to grab this little boy, and the little boy hung onto its neck, and he goes up into the air, the Trinavarta, and simply by holding onto his neck and squeezing, he was able to defeat, and this demon was crashed to the ground, was defeated. So they're quite amazed by how all of these things are going on. Just as here, Uddhava is appreciating, again, Krishna's and Balaram's just seemingly normal, you could say, quote-unquote normal feelings. Again, how is it that this little boy, when tied up by his mother to a mortar, crawled between two gigantic trees, the twin Arjun trees, and caused them to fall just by his slight tugging? These activities are not, they're not just normal, as we're reading here in this in Prabhupada's wonderful purport. These are not just a normal activities, but they're the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's acting in the most normal and seemingly mundane way. Or how, as a small child, he began to dance on the hood of a great serpent. Anyone had any experience of how fast cobras strike, for instance? It's quite amazing. I remember in Puri one time, this was in Bhubaneswar actually, and we went to and watched fellow who was a charmer, snake charmer, and he opened up his basket and he began to play his music, right? And this cobra actually came out. It was stunning. And I was so foolish as to get close and take a picture. And he got so angry. The charmer got so angry. Because what happened was that the concentration of the snake would be broken. And when the concentration of the attention of the snake is broken, it snaps out and it'll strike. And it actually struck him. But these charmers are also very smart. They know how to defang the snakes so that when they do strike, if they were to strike, it's not fatal. So he got really angry, but the snake got, it was just in a heartbeat. It struck and bit. So what to speak of a great Kaliya serpent who has hundreds and hundreds of heads. And he's striking, and it's his venom is so toxic. That what happened when he was in the Jamuna. So many of the residents and the cows and everyone, they were falling unconscious due to its strength. But this little boy, he's dancing on the heads of these, on the various hoods of this serpent. And he's very dexterously dancing. We sometimes see how in the material world people like to imitate. They create all kinds of fancy dances, isn't it? I remember they tried to create some kind of fancy dance in a particular mood or in a particular move or a stance. At least what I remember anyway, they would have this one dance, what was it called, the limbo? Right? You put a stick and you try and go under the stick, and as it goes lower, you try and go lower. Right? So they try to come up with these creative dances, which, or the twist, or the jerk. What is that? It's all imitation, actually. It's just imitation. Krishna is the most beautiful dancer. He's so beautiful when he dances that even Lord Shiva becomes enamored. What to speak of the demigods? We sometimes become fascinated that, oh, this person, he knows how to dance. He's dancing backwards and it looks like he's not moving or he's on a conveyor or something. Right? But actually, it's insignificant in comparison to how the Lord is performing his wonderful activities. And when the friends of friends of Nanda were describing all of this to and the between the cowherd boys and the cowherd men, as they were describing this, they were speaking to themselves and they were questioning, why is it that we're so attracted? We don't even want to be, but we're so attracted. We don't even want to be, just like in the material world. Sometimes you don't want to think of something, but it just keeps on entering into our mind. Due to, of course, bad association, or due to association with the modes of material nature, those thoughts, they come in and disturb our mind and begin to pollute the body. So the friends of Vasudeva were, or Nanda were asking, why is it that we're attracted to this little boy? We want to forget him, but we can't. And after hearing this, Vasudeva, his answer, or Nanda's answer, was that all I can do is share with you what was told to me by Gargamuni, right? That this is not an ordinary boy. That he's come many times in different ages. White, a color, the reddish color, yellowish color. Now he's come in a beautiful blackish color as Krishna. And that he's come many, many times, and he's come with, and he's called by different names according to his activities and his qualities. Just like we have experience that someone may call another person a certain name because he's a great thinker, or he may be a great musician, or he may be a great builder. Or even within our own experience, you may have a relative in which you have different names, right? Little pet names. That my daughter calls me this, my wife calls me that, my brother calls me this. So we also have various names. So Krishna has unlimited names, unlimited activities, and they're all there in a glorification of his pastimes, as Prabhupada points out here. These are all glorified pastimes of the Lord. They're not contradictory. They're not a contradiction in any sense of the word. Since Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he's never afraid of Kamsa, and he can perform wonderful, wonderful activities, but he performs those activities not that he's obligated, but just as an example. Right? Krishna doesn't need, he's not in need of something. He's not wanting anything. Neither is he obliged to. But because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of affection, Sudhita Sarvadehinam, Krishna is affectionate to his, all living beings. Out of affection to his loving devotees, he manifests these wonderful pastimes and these wonderful activities. Of course, the materialistic person, naham prakasya sarvasa yogamaya, the mundane person can't understand how is it that God can perform such wonderful, glorious activities. And sometimes we have conversations with people that they can't understand how is it that God can do such things. Although he's fantastic, that he's great, he's all-knowing, this and that. He's omnipresent, omniscient. When you ask further, what can you tell me about him? It ends there. The conversation ends. But we can understand from the pages of Bhagavatam and from the descriptions given by the great devotees that the Lord can perform all of these wonderful activities, and they're not a contradiction. Although he may be within everything, pravishtani, apravishtani, right? Krishna's within everything. He's also outside of everything. He's not bound by any material rules, but instead, simply out of his great love and reciprocation of his devotees, he engages in such a wonderful pastime, as Prabhupada points out here. Out of his great love for Krishna, he broke his promise, and the Lord was very pleased with Vasudeva for his transcendental mentality. Now, does that mean that we can make all sorts of promises and just break them as we choose, like they do in the material world? People make so many promises, right? Till death do us part. It's broken in a heartbeat. As soon as that gratification is not there, it's finished. Ah, it's over. No, not that kind of a promise. Not that kind of reciprocation. When the devotees are seriously in love with the personality of Godhead, Krishna reciprocates. And he reciprocates in such a way that it intensifies the devotee's love. Just as here Prabhupada points out so nicely. Prabhupada is getting so deep in this purport. It's very, very deep. I was thinking yesterday when Archita told me that there was class and that this verse is such a meditative verse. I didn't realize but now, reading the purport, it's such a meditative ecstasy that Srila Prabhupada is exhibiting here. That out of his intense love of Vasudeva, Krishna fell down into the waters of the Jamuna while his father was crossing the river. And Vasudeva became mad after his child as he tried to recover him in the midst of the rising river. So sometimes Krishna also reciprocates with his devotees like that, that just to intensify the love and affection and the connection that needs to be there for one to advance properly in devotional life. And sometimes those tests, they come. But they're only there to intensify or create a transcendental anxiety. But again, the mundane persons, they can't understand this. Krishna does not reveal himself to them in that way. Right? I am Atma Pravachanena Namedya Bahunashri. Krishna doesn't reveal himself, but to those who he himself, he decides or he chooses that let me reveal myself to this wonderful devotee who is wanting to develop his relationship with me. And again, Krishna has no want or a need or has any prescribed duty, but he does that out of affection for his devotee. Right? He explains that in Bhagavad Gita. Name partashti kartavyam. He doesn't, he's not prescribed or he's not obliged to do anything. But he wants to out of loving reciprocation. And Uddhava's appreciating this and he's simply struck with wonder that by the glorious behavior of the Lord. He was so sorry that he was unable to go with him. Again, this is a transcendental experience. It's not that the devotees are such great devotees such as Uddhav and Vasudeva and Nanda and so many others that are described in the pages of the Bhagavatam are struggling with some material attachment. No. But instead it's totally transcendental. And when the Lord feels that, he reciprocates. This is such a very nice verse to meditate on. And it's every line again is so packed full. Prabhupada talks about the Lord's example, He talks about the glorious pastimes of the Lord, reciprocation that's there between the Lord and His devotees, and it is something to certainly meditate and appreciate. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Sachitanari.
Thank you, Prabhu. I appreciate that point that you make about intensifying the desire for love. So I couldn't help to mention, I just remembered when you were saying that just as Krishna has that the place, that like game, if you want to call, or just to intensify the love for his devotees, the pure devotees do that too. And we all know about the example of Srila Prabhupada. I'm not going to tell the whole thing because most everybody knows. In his later days, when Prabhupada was about to leave his body, and he had a desire to go to Parikram and Govardhan Hill, and some devotees thought, that's not possible, Prabhupada. At that point, you know, they thought that he would leave his body. But there was other group of devotees who will say, yes, he should go. So out of love, they were having some transcendental heavy disagreements.
Yeah.
To the point that one devotee at the end said, Prabhupada, why do you do this? Why do you do this, Prabhupada?
And he said, why do you do this to us?
Why do you do that to us? Just to intensify your love for me.
Yeah.
That was an amazing
thing.
Just to learn.
Increase, but also test our love. Not only to increase, Krishna's increase, acting in such a wonderful way to increase the ecstasy of Vasudeva, but he's also testing. So, it's a good example. Wonderful.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I just have a comment and a question. My comment was, in the Sanskrit, there's the verse, Shankitanam, which means of those who are afraid. And of those who are afraid. But if you look at the word, it looks like Sankirtanam, like Sankirtan. So I was just thinking that, it's just missing one letter, and if you don't use what is like the diacritic, like the symbol on top of the S that makes it a sh sound, then you get like a completely different meaning. You know, if someone, so I was just thinking how like just one letter off of a word in Sanskrit completely changes the meaning of the sentence. And so, you know, if someone knew Sanskrit and they heard like people from the West mispronounce things, it would be like they have no idea what you're talking about. So
yeah, Guru and Go.
Yeah, many examples. There's a lot of things.
Guru or Guru. One is cow and one is the spiritual master. It's totally different.
Yeah. And I also heard from Madhavendra Puri that the song Guru Vandanam, when we say Lokana Lokira Jivanam, Jiva means tongue, right? Yeah, so if you mispronounce it, it means the spiritual master has a large tongue. But it actually is supposed to mean that the spiritual master delivers the lokas, delivers the world. So there's a lot of things could be pointed out. Anyways, and I just also wanted to say, I thought it was interesting how Vasudeva broke his promise. It says, morally, Vasudeva was bound to deliver Krishna to the hands of Kamsa, because that's what he promised, but he broke his promise, and that actually pleased Krishna.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, you know, we're not like mundane moralists. The devotee will do whatever we have to do to serve Krishna.
Yeah.
We experience that, like, sometimes on book distribution. You know, you have to sneak into a place just so more people get books. If you do it the mundane, moral way, try to get permission, they don't allow you to get permission, or, you know, then you just get kicked out of the place, and then the Sankirtan is disrupted. So it actually pleases Krishna more to, you know, get the books out or do what it have to do.
It's just like when Sankirtan devotees go out and they talk to some person and they ask them, oh, well, what kind of work do you do? Well, I'm a scientist. Oh, well, these books are all about science. Or you talk to a person who's an artist. Oh, well, these books are all about art. Or these books are, you can, we can learn how to dovetail, because actually the Vedic literatures are full of all of that information. It covers every subject, every topic. Yeah. We can say, yes, that this is about this and this and that.
Yeah, of course we're not anarchists, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. But I have a question. So it's saying in the purport how it's everyone's responsibility to serve their parents. That's your duty. So of course we know that, you know, if you engage in full-time devotional service, you don't have obligations to the demigods, to the forefathers, to the sages, etc., because you're serving Krishna directly. So I was just wondering, and I don't know if there's even a direct answer. We hear that there's even different numbers given, sometimes 7, sometimes 14. But if one becomes a devotee, then a certain number of generations of his parents get liberation. So I was just wondering, what does liberation actually mean? You know, we hear there's 5 types of liberation. So I'm not too sure what that word means in that context. Do they get a chance to become a devotee in their next life? Do they get Sayuja liberation, or what does that mean?
Prabhupada was asked that question. It's on the Veda base. And the way he answered it was that they get a chance to be engaged in devotional service. He said that is liberation. That is more than liberation.
Yeah.
So that's the liberation.
Yeah. So the liberation is that their devotional service gets an opportunity started. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.